somebody's got to stand up for what's right. This is Talk Radio 570 KVI.
It's 18 and a half minutes after 7 o'clock. Excuse me, after 6 o'clock in the morning. Looking outside, it looks it's brilliant, sunshiny day. It's going to be great all weekend. Do you know how much money that Sheldon Adelson, the casino magnate, and Warren Buffett, the investment czar, and Bill Gates, the software king, have between them? Senior Chief Executive Producer Philip J. Vandervoort III? Take a guess here.
$395.
A little bit off.
Okay.
$158 billion.
I see. I should have put more zeros on the end of
so
that.
So here's what this means. You could put $1 million on every chair, on every seat at CenturyLink Field where the Seahawks play. Have capacity crowd come in, scoop up the $1 million and leave. And then put another $1 million on every seat on CenturyLink Field. Call in another 52,000-53,000 people. Have them scoop up $1 million and leave the stadium so that you can put another $1 million on each and every seat at CenturyLink Field and have a third crowd come in, fill every seat, and walk out with $1 million. That is how much money Sheldon Adelson, Warren Buffett, and Bill Gates have. Why is that relevant? They have a piece today in the New York Times. It's called Break the Immigration Impasse. They say Americans are paying 535 people to take care of legislative needs of the country. We're getting shortchanged. No disagreement there. Here's an example. On June 10th, an incumbent congressman in Virginia lost a primary election in which his opponent garnered only 36,000 votes. Immediately, many Washington legislators threw up their hands and declared that this one event would produce paralysis in the United States Congress for at least 5 months. In particular, they're telling us that immigration reform, long overdue, is now hopeless. Americans deserve better than this. The three of us, Sheldon, Warren, and Bill, vary in our politics and would differ also in our preferences about the details of an immigration reform bill. But we could, without doubt, come together to draft a bill acceptable to each of us. We hope that fact holds a lesson. You don't have to agree on everything in order to cooperate on matters on which you're reasonably close to agreement. It's time that this brand of thinking find its way to Washington. Okay. How to unpack this? Let's start with the fact that the incumbent congressman in Virginia who lost his primary was the second most powerful man in Congress, Eric Cantor. He was the first House Majority Leader to lose a primary in American history. He lost despite outspending his opponent more than $5 million to $250,000. That's about a 20-to-1 spending advantage. So the second most powerful congressman in a primary outspends his opponent 20-to-1 and lost, in large part because the congressman was seen as being squishy. He wasn't even seen as being an ardent supporter like Lindsey Grahamnesty from South Carolina and John McCain of comprehensive immigration reform, parentheses, amnesty. He was just seen as being squishy. And his opponent, college professor David Bratt, came out strongly against. So I think that from the skybox, Sheldon and Warren and Bill might be missing the point about that election. The second issue is, he said, you don't have to agree on everything to cooperate on matters of which you're reasonably close. Reasonably close? Why would any Republican be reasonably close to Barack Obama on this issue at this point? Barack Obama has let up, pulled back on enforcing border security in this country so that he would worsen the problem of illegal immigration and therefore be able to use it, border security, as a bargaining chip for amnesty. The conservative position is, we're not even going to talk about what to do with the illegals who are living in the United States until the border is secured, fortified, and sealed. Then and only then do we even talk about this issue. That is not an issue upon which people are, quote, reasonably close to an agreement, close quote. That's a fundamental difference. But from the skybox, apparently it might not be quite so easy to ascertain. Maybe they need a stronger pair of binoculars to see from that high. And then they go on to make the case for more legal immigrants. Quote, remove the worldwide cap on the number of visas that could be awarded to legal immigrants who had earned a graduate degree in science, technology, engineering, or mathematics from an accredited institution. They say Americans are a forgiving and generous people. And who is not happy that their forebearers, whatever their motive or means of entry, made it to our soil? Let me read that one again. Americans are a forgiving and generous people, and who among us is not happy that their forebearers, whatever their means of entry, made it to our soil? Are you kidding me? So now, even Sheldon, Warren, and Bill, as in Adelson, Buffett, and Gates, are morphing, blurring the distinctions between illegal and legal immigration. And then, in the very next paragraph, they say, for the future, the United States should take all steps to ensure that every prospective immigrant follows all rules. Well, what a great concept that is. Is that happening right now? Well, no, it's not happening because people who break the rules would benefit from the comprehensive immigration reform that Sheldon and Warren and Bill are demanding. Let us continue. For the future, the United States should take all steps to ensure that every prospective immigrant follows all the rules and that people breaking these rules, including any facilitators, are severely punished. Really? Why don't we do that now, Sheldon? What do you say for you call for that happening right now, Bill? What do you say, Warren? Why don't we start severely punishing people who are facilitating illegal immigration right now? You think it's such a great idea? Why not start it this instant? And then they get into the various types of visas, you know, that they would support. But this goes to show you just how completely disconnected America's elite are from everyday America on this issue. Everyday America, this issue's simple. Illegal immigration rewards people who break the law, and that's not right. Illegal immigration means more and more people competing for jobs among entry-level and blue-collar workers forcing down wages. That's not right. An amnesty means another wave of illegal immigration that further, C-A-N-B, rewards people for breaking the law and further dilutes the job pool of entry-level and blue-collar work. See, that's the reality. And, I mean, I don't know what else to take away from this piece other than our elites, they might be powerful and they might be rich, but not only are they wrong, their case is stunningly weak. We talked about the H-1B visas before. These are the, you know, visas you give to skilled, skilled, technologically gifted people to come to America. And they said, well, we have jobs we can't fill in our country because we just don't have the qualified personnel in the United States to do it. And we pointed out all of the Americans with computer science engineers, high-tech training, that can't find a job because all of these high-tech companies want to hire people from overseas. They can pay them less money. Plus, they'd be beholden for their visas to their employer. That's why they want them. They don't want to pay an American wage to an American worker.